Today's daf is Chulin daf Samach. Today's daf is a daf of Agadita. It's been a while, so we get some Agadita in the sugya. So we started the Agadita yesterday. We were discussing the Aryeh de Be'ilai, and that led us into the story, conversations that occurred between between the Kesar and Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. So the story we had yesterday was that the Kesar challenged Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya by saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Nimshal Ka'aryeh, he's considered like a lion, Aryeh Sha'ag Milo Yira. And he said, well, a lion is not so impressive because even a person who's a warrior can go and kill a lion. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya said, no, you got the wrong lion. It's not talking about a regular lion, it's talking about the Aryeh de Be'ilai. That's the lion that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is compared to. And he had that wild experience with the Aryeh de Be'ilai, where when it got within 400 parsaos, it caused certain frightening things to happen. Within 300 parsaos, even more frightening things, and he realized that he couldn't survive such an encounter with the Aryeh de Be'ilai. So the second story now, on three lines from the bottom of Daf Nun Tes and Beis, Amalei Kesar Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. So the Kesar says, Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, Be'ina de'ichsi le'lokaychu. He says, I want to see your God. I want to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amalei lo matzi chazle. He said, I'm sorry, you can't see him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not available for viewing. So Amalei ivra chazinalei. He says, no, I'm going to see him. So he brought him outside and he said, right across from the sun in midday in summertime. And Amalei Stakalbe said, oh, look at the sun. Amalei Lomatsina, he said, I can't. It's shining too bright. My eyes can't openly look at the sun. Amalei Yoma Dechad Meshamshe Dekaimikam Dekuchabrichu. Amarta Lomatsina Lestakalbe. Shchina Lakolshkein. The sun is just one of the Meshamshim of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And you're unable to look at the sun. So the Shekhinah itself, all the more so you're not going to be able to look at the sun. This is part of the appreciation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that comes about by looking at the Brios of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rambam talks about this in Yisodei HaTorah, Perek Beis Halacha Beis. The Rambam writes that it's the Derech Liyira Shemayim, the Derech to Yira Shemayim is Al Yidei Shemis Bonin B'maisav Uberuav HaNiflayim. That a person should think about what HaKadosh Baruch Hu put in this world. The amazing power of the different things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put in this world. When you think about the mentality of Ovdei Avodah Zarah, those who are Ovei Dechama, those who worship the sun, you understand where they're coming from. They worship the sun because its power is overwhelming. The only thing is, we're not supposed to take that as the end of the equation. It's not that its power is overwhelming and therefore we worship it. It's that its power is overwhelming and that's only one ingredient in this world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed there. So how much more powerful is HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And that should bring us to a sense of Yirah Shemayim. Remember Rabbi Franz said once in a drasha that when he was by the Grand Canyon, he noticed that people were whispering as if they're not allowed to make noise at the Grand Canyon. And he said, what are they whispering for? And he said that they were whispering because you see something that massive, you see what HaKadosh Baruch Hu put in this world, and you're just a little bit frightened. There's a little sense of Yirah Shemayim, you're just completely overwhelmed. And that's what the Rambam's talking about when he says that you should see the Bruav HaNeflaim, the amazing creations of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's the point that Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya was making to the Kesar, that this is a tiny little piece of the bigger puzzle of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu put in this world. Doesn't even come close to describing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is. So the third conversation between the Kesar and Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, Amar le Kesar Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, Be'ina de'itzvis le Nahama le'lokaychu. He says, I want to prepare bread for your God. And Nahama means bread, literally. Rashi over here says, Asakin lo su'uda. I want to prepare a meal for him. So Amar le lo matzas. He says, you can't do that. Amai. He says, well, why not? I can do it, and I want you to tell me how to do it. So he said, why wouldn't I be able to do it? So he said, Nefishi Chalvasa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has too many legions of troops that you would have to feed. It doesn't come alone. Comes with all of his malachim. And so you're never going to be able to feed all of them. Amalei Ivrei says, I'll be able to do it. I can do it. You just give me some advice of how to go about doing it. So Amalei Pok Tzavis Legida Derevisa Derevicha Alma. He says, okay, so if you want advice, here's what I'll tell you to do. Go to the edge of the river that's called the River Ravisa, where there's a lot of space over there by that river, and that way all the chayalos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu will have plenty of room to gather near that river. Tarach Shisi Archikaita. So he said, okay, that's a good idea. And for 6 months during the summer months, he prepared a Su'uda feast that was going to take place there. Asazika kanche liyama. Then a wind came and blew the whole feast into the ocean. Tarach shisi archi de sitva. So he spent 6 months of the winter months preparing this feast. Asamitra tave biyama. Then the rain came and totally flooded out the entire feast, and all of it went straight into the ocean. Amarlei, my high. So he said, well, this is very frustrating. What's going on over here? You advise me that this is the best place to make this udon. It's been a terrible place. Amarlei, hani knusai zluchai dasu kamei. He says, no, these are part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's legions. These are just the sweepers and the people who sprinkle water on the floor that come in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It used to be that the houses were made with dirt floors, and they would have to sprinkle water on the floor so that the dust would settle, wouldn't come up and get in your eyes and make everything all messy. So those are the sprinklers, the people who come and sprinkle the floors in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the beginnings of his legions that you're going to see, and you can't even handle that. Amalei ihachi lo matzina. He says, okay, if that's the case, then I just can't handle it. Then you're right. Then it's beyond me to handle. Now it's interesting. The Marsha raises the question when. And the Kesar wanted to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so why does he have to take him out to the sun and show him the sun? Why doesn't he instead tell him, well, remember that story with the Ari Debei Lai, that you wanted to see the Ari Debei Lai? That's just one creature that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made, and you couldn't get within 300 parsos of the Ari Debei Lai. So are you sure you're going to be able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu? In Kal Vachomer, you're not going to be able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shouldn't that have been enough? Why does he have to show him something else? The Ari Debei Lai should have been enough of a raya that he's not going to be able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Lev Aryeh is Metaret. So the Marsha is one Teretz, but the Lev Aryeh is a different Teretz. He says that all of these three stories actually happened in reverse order. That the Gemara tells them to us in reverse order of the way that they actually happened. Initially, he wanted to prepare a Su'uda for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as if to say, I'm a king, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a king, you know, we should get together, have a summit of some sort, as if they're going to meet almost as equals. So he wanted to prepare a Su'uda. So then that failed. So he says, okay, if that failed, at least let me see him. At least let me have an audience with him. And that failed as well. So he says, okay, if I can't have an audience with him, at least let me experience one of his more impressive creations, the Aryeh Debei Lai. That's the sequence that it really happens, said Lev Aryeh. Aye, so why does the Gemara say it backwards? He says, because what's all this doing here, Maseches Chulin? It's all here because we were discussing what kinds of animals are kosher and what's not kosher. We're discussing different types of creatures, and one of the things we mentioned was Aryeh Debei Lai. So the Aryeh Debei Lai was the segue into all of these conversations between the Kesar Rabbi Shlomo Chanani. So we need to lead off with that story. So once we lead off with that story, so we go backwards, we go in the other direction. Now on this third story over here, the Ben Yoyada has several kashas that trouble him about this story. So first of all, was this Kesar, was he an intelligent person or was he a complete moron? Because Tinok Ben Yomo understands that you can't feed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm going to prepare a meal for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What kind of havamina does he have that he's going to... Okay, to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you understand that he had such a havamina that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a goof, that there's something to see. Or maybe he meant see, appreciate on a spiritual level, and he just didn't understand that it takes a lot of years of work to gain a greater appreciation of even a tiny bit of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all about. But to prepare a meal for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what's his havamina? Furthermore, the Ben Yoyada asks, why after the first 6 months that he prepared the meal in the summertime and the whole thing got blown away, he didn't express any frustration whatsoever? It's only after the next 6 months, then he gets frustrated. What's going on over here? Why is all this 6 months of work, when it went for nothing, got blown away? He didn't have any frustration. Third, he asks, Ben Yoyada asks, when Rashi says the answer of Rabbi Yeshua to the Kesar, that the Ruach and the Matar came and ruined everything, so even if he if everything was thrown into the river, the third question he asks is, why is it on the first time Dafka Ruach came, the second time it was Dafka Matar. What's the difference? Why Dafka those two things? Why not at the same time? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu make it happen Dafka in those two ways? So the Ben Yoyad, there's a whole Mahalich to answer all these questions, but the basic yisod of the Mahalich is that when he said he wanted to prepare a meal for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he didn't mean for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He meant for the Malachim, for the Chayalos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's not so crazy, because Avram Avinu prepared a meal for Malachim. He said, if Abraham can do it, I can do it too. Let me prepare a meal for the Malachim as well. And that's why when he said, why wouldn't I be able to do it? Rabbi Shimon Chanani said, his chayalos are meruba. Of all the that's what, if the guy's trying to prepare a meal for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you can tell him the reason he can't do it is because the chayalos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are meruba. No, tell him HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not a physical being. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't eat. What do you mean the chayalos of meruba? Obviously, he was angling toward the malachim, not toward feeding HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Even though it says that he wants to make Nahama Lelokaichu, may mean Elohim in terms of Malachim, that are sometimes referred to as Elohim as well. Okay, Amar Le Bas Kesa L'Rabbi Shimon Chanani, a similar conversation, a different conversation though, occurred between the Bas Kesar, the daughter of the Kesar, and Rabbi Shimon Chanani, where she challenged him by saying that Elokeichu Nagrahu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is nothing but a carpenter. Tzchiv HaMakar V'mayim Al Yosef says that he puts a ceiling with water on his attic. So it sounds like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is building. It's referring to the clouds, obviously, but it sounds like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a builder, that he's given raw materials. He has water, he has space, and he's making an attic with those raw materials. But the whole kunz of Yesh Me'ayin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't really do that. He was just given raw materials to work with. So Emile Dinavid Lichada Misturisa. So she said, I want him to make for me a certain kli that was used for spinning thread. So if he's such a good carpenter, let him, you know, I want to employ him, and I would like for him to make this thing that's used for spinning thread. So Amar Lechi said, okay, fine. Boy Rachmi Allah the Inga. So he davened and she developed Tzara'as. That was the response. How does that have to do with this kli? So the Gemara explains. Osva Bashuke de Rome, they sat her down in the market in the town square of Rome. Viavila Mesturisa, and they gave her this kli that's used for spinning thread. Davanihigi de Kaldaminga Baromi Yavale Mesturisa. That was the practice in Rome. Anyone who developed Tzara'as, they gave them this kli for spinning thread. Viasu Bashuka Vasasa Devlali, and you would sit in the market and you would sit there spinning thread the whole time. And the reason they did that is Kiech Dilaksu and Shivulu by Rachmele, is that people should see Neba, the person who's afflicted with tzara'as, sitting there in the marketplace spinning thread, and they'll daven for the person to have a refuah. Yom echad av kachal v'asam. So one time, Rabbi Shimon Chananya was walking by there, and he saw her havas yasva v'sasra davlali b'shukat Romai, and she was sitting there spinning thread in the shuk of Rome. Amar la shapirta masurisa diavlai chalokai. Says, so how do you like it? You like the gift HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you? It's just what you asked for, and they gave you one for free. How are you enjoying it? So she said, do me a favor, can you ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to take back the gift? I'm not really so interested in it. Our God only bestows blessing. He doesn't ask for blessing in return. He doesn't take anything back. It's a no return policy on the blessings of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So sorry, I can't take it back from you. In the Torah Chaim, he explains this. Actually, no. We'll get on to Vayter. The Ben Yoyada just explains that this response of Mishka Lo Shakil obviously was a bedichus bialma. It was said as a joke to mock her. Nevertheless, he was the Ben Yoyada says he must have been mevakesh rachamim mishum kavan malchus that she should have a refuah. But this was a bedichus bialma. Obviously, there's no real concept of meviav Mishka Lo Shakil. Okay, so Amar Rav Yehuda, Shor, now going back to defining animals for a very brief moment before we continue in Agadita, so Rav Yehuda says the definition of a Shor, the way to identify a Shor, is Karsasan, it has a very wide stomach, Uparsasan, it has wide hooves, and Rav Reshe, it has a large head, Varav Gnuvase, and it has a big tail. The Chilufa Bechamra, but a donkey is the exact opposite, it has the opposite of all those things. So Lamay Nafkamina, what is this? is a children's animal book that we have to describe. This animal looks like that, and that animal looks like that. We know what these animals look like. We know what a shor is. We know what a chamor is. Why do you have to give all of these characteristics? So the mekach u'memker, the nafkamina is for mekach u'memker, which means that if someone says they're selling you a shor and they don't specify that this particular shor has an unusually narrow belly or has unusually narrow hooves, and it does, then it's a mekach tos, because it's assumed that a typical shor has all of these characteristics: the big head, the big tail, the wide belly, the wide hooves. If it's lacking any of these characteristics, you're going to be able to claim mekach tos. Vamra b'yuda. Once we're discussing shor, so a little bit of agadita about a shor. So says Rabbi Yehuda, shor she'ikrav Adam Rishon, keren achas ha'isolo b'mitzchav. The shor that Adam Rishon brought only had one horn in the middle of its forehead. That was where the horn was located. It was a very unusual kind of a shor. Now the Taras Chaim explains, why dafka would Adam Rishon bring a shor that has one horn? Why bring such an unusual looking animal as the korban? So he says that the idea was that it was supposed to be a kapara for Adam Rishon's Avera, where every Avera is in some way a kfira b'yichudo shel olam. It's in some way a denial of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's complete control and unique control over the world. So Adam Rishon needed a kapara for that. And we know that when you bring a korban, the korban is supposed to represent that you really deserve everything that's happening to the korban. It's tmuras nafsho. It's in exchange for the person's own nefesh. And therefore, Adam Rishon wanted to find a korban that was symbolic of what he needs kapara for. So he dafka brought a korban that has one horn facing straight up to show that show the idea of Yichudo Shel Olam, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Hashem Echad, that everything is directed all straight to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just like the horn points straight up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's the Taras Chaim's explanation of what Adam Rishon was thinking by dafka bringing such a korban. So anyway, so the shor that he brought had this one horn. Where am I? Yeah. So Shenemar, how do we know that it had one horn? Because the pasuk says Vatetav Lashem Mishar Par Makrin Mafris. So Makrin tells us that it's one, that it's singular, it's one horn. So frankly, Makrin Tarti Mashma. What are you talking about? That's plural. Sounds like it has two. So Amar Rav Nachman Mikeren Ksiv. It's written without the yud. Sounds like Mikeren. Mikeren is singular. So it tells us that that's how we learn that that it only had one horn. Vam Rav Yehuda Shor Shehikrav Adam Rishon Karnov Kodmos Leparsosav. Its horns came before its hooves. Normally, when an animal is born, the hooves come before the horns. The horns develop much later. But the shor that Adam Rishon brought was its horns came before its hooves. Now, that word, karnav, the Achronim point out, is a little bit strange. It should be karno kodemes leparsosav, because we just said it only had kerenachas. It only had a single horn. So why is it karnav? It should be karno. So that's what some of the Rishonim, I think, already explained, that that probably what it means, that Karanach Marim Shif rather explains that when it says Karanachas Haislo B'mitzcho, it means in addition to the two normal horns that every other shor has, it also had this one unusual horn sticking out of the middle of its head. But it doesn't mean that it was in place of the other horns. Otherwise, the word karnav is out of place. So anyway, the way this shor developed was karnav kodmos leparsosav. As Rashi explains, shekol shvarim parsoseim noldos imam. Most shvarim, when they're born with their hooves already. V'karnoseim gedelim lachar zman, and the horns grow later on. Aval shel maisa bereishis b'komosam nivru'u. But things that were created with maisa bereishis were not created as babies. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the animal kingdom, he didn't create baby animals of each kind. He created fully developed animals of each kind. And therefore, ubekarneim, they were created already with their horns. Now, how are they created? So says Rashi, ukshayotza min ha'aretz rosho tchila nimshu shekadmu karnosav leparsosav. It grew from the ground. It basically just grew out of the ground, these animals. That's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu created them. So that's why the horns came before the hooves, because it was growing out of the ground, with the horns coming out first, followed by the rest of the body, and ultimately by the hooves. So that's how do we know that this is true, says the Gemara. Shenemar v'teitav Lashem Mishar Par Makrin Mafris. Makrin Bereisha, V'hadar Mafris. First the reference to the horns, and then to the hooves. Misayele the Rabbi Shimon Levi, and there's a riot to Rabbi Shimon Levi. Gam Rabbi Shimon Levi, kol ma'aseh bereishis b'kol masan nivru. Every bit of ma'aseh bereishis was created b'kol masan with their full height that they were already fully developed. Not only that, b'daita nivru. They were created, bidaitan literally should mean with their full das, meaning if there's a development of the das, of the shor, from the time that it's a baby to the time that it develops as an adult, so it was created with the full das that an adult shor has, but Rashi understands it differently. Rashi says, no, the gear says not bidaitam, because probably what motivates Rashi to not say bidaitam is that shor ben yomo nikra shor, that when a shor is a day old, its das is its das. It's not developing any further. It's not like a human being where we need to perfect ourselves and develop ourselves over the course of a lifetime. A shor is a shor. Nothing is really changing so much in its das from the time that it's a baby. There's no like a bar mitzvah where it becomes a ben das by a shor. So Rashi understands, no, it's not bidaitam, it's lidaitam, that they had the right to approve their own creation. Shahodiyam Shivraim Mehim Neosak. Rosh Baruch Hu said to them, I'm going to create you, and they were okay with that, whatever that means. If before they were created, some sort of malach that represented them or something, but they had they were informed before their creation. And Bitzivyonam Nivru, which again Rashi says Litzivyonam means they got to choose their unique characteristics. So the giraffe was saying, I think a long neck would look nice. So they got to choose what they wanted to look like, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them those characteristics. So litzivyonim, not bitzivyonim. Tosfos over here says that tzivyonim over here means beauty, that they were created in their full beauty. Now, b'kamasa nivru does not mean to say, Tosfos points out, b'kamasa nivru does not mean to say that they were created standing up. Because in Mesech Sanhedrin Daflam and Ches, by Adam Rishon, it tells us the procedure or the development throughout the day that Adam Rishon was created, and it tells us, Revius Nizriko Bo Neshama, that in the fourth hour of the day, he received his Neshama, Chamishis Amad Al Raglov. In the fifth hour of the day, he stood up. So it sounds like not all creatures were created standing up. So b'kamasin doesn't mean standing up. It just means fully developed. So shenemar v'ichlo shemayim v'aretz v'chol tzva'am, al tikri tzva'am el tzivyonam. Tzivyonam means according to their own desires. So fine, so that's the way that the creatures came into being in Ma'aseh Bereishis. But the reason we're quoting this is the idea that they came into being fully developed, and that's why the keren came before, the horns came before the hooves. Darish Rabbeinu Bar Papa, Yichvan Hashem Liolam Yismach Hashem Masav. Pasuk Zesh Sar HaOlam Amro. This pasuk was stated by the Sar HaOlam, some malach who's in charge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu has managing the world. So B'Shal Shamar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Liminehu B'Ilanos. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu said Liminehu about trees, that each tree has its own min, Nasu D'Sham Kalvachomer B'Atzman. Plant life decided to make the following Kalvachomer. They overheard that and they said this follows. Im Ritzonu Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Revuvya Lama Amar Liminehu B'Ilanos. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted everything to just be mixed together and all over each other, then why would he say Liminehu by Ilanos, which makes it sound like he wants everything distinct from each other? Va'od Kalvachomer, and furthermore, we have a Kalvachomer. Uma Ilanos She'in Darkon Latzei Spirvovia Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu Liminehu. If Ilanos, which don't normally intermingle anyway, trees stand distinct from each other anyhow, and Kodesh Baruch Hu still made a point of saying that I want them to remain distinct from each other, so Anu Alachas Kama V'Kama. So we, the plant life, who very often grow all over each other, all the more so we're supposed to be distinct from each other. Miyad Kalecha Ve'achad Yatzal Lamino. So each one went out to be distinct from the other one, and they remained separate from each other. Pasuk Sara Olam Va'amar Yichvar Hashem Liolam Yismach Hashem Masav. And at that point, the Sara Olam said, "Ah, Hakadosh Baruch Hu Shepping Nachas. Look at the brios that Hakadosh Baruch Hu made that are trying to serve Him and that are figuring out what the Ratzon of the Borei Olam is. Fantastic, wonderful, wonderful Kal V'Chomer that was made by plant life." By Ravina. So Ravina asked the following shayla: Here kif shnei d'shoyim ze al gav ze. What if a person grafts two plants with each other? The Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa Mahu. According to Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa, the Isser of grafting plants together was the Kalvachomer that the plants themselves made from the trees. We know that there's an Isser of Harkavas Ilanos. So is there also an Isser based on that Kalvachomer of Harkavas Tishayim, of grafting plants together? So the two sides of the coin. Should we say, well, since HaKadosh Baruch Hu never said the Minehu about plant life, Mimela they're not Chayiv, there is no Chiyuv of, there is no Isser of grafting them together. Odilma kibin de hiskim adidhu ayadaihu kemandech sivbu l'minei udamya. Or should we say that no, since HaKadosh Baruch Hu approved of their Kal V'chomer, they made a Kal V'chomer, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, yes, good idea, you're right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yichvar Hashem li'olam, yismach Hashem masav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was happy about their Kal V'chomer, so maybe that itself creates an Isser. So take, Gemara leaves that unresolved. What the status of that is. I wonder if that's a larger question. Is that Dafka over here? Is this saying that whenever we make our own ideas, our own din that HaKadosh Baruch Hu thinks is a good idea, so does that take on the status of a full-fledged Isra? I thought that maybe this relates to how the Rabbanan make dinim. Whenever you have a din to Rabbanan, so we assume HaKadosh Baruch Hu is maskim al yadam, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is maskim to the dinim to Rabbanan. But to what level does that din take on the status of a din d'oraisa because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is maskim? Is the askam of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the fact that he says lo sasur, is that enough to say that okay, since HaKadosh Baruch Hu is maskim to the dinim that the Chum make, Memela becomes like a din d'oraisa? So there's a discussion, Rambam Ramban, at the beginning of the Sefer HaMitzvos, exactly to what extent a din d'Rabbanan has the oraisa elements to it. We know the Torah tells us we're not allowed to veer from what HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, from what the Rabbanan commands us. The Torah says that we're not allowed to veer from what the Rabbanan tell the dinim that the Rabbanan make. To what extent does that make a din d'Rabbanan like a din d'oraisa? Maybe that's somewhat related over here. Okay, anyway, Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi Rami. Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi asked the following stira. This is probably the first medrash that most children learn in their lifetimes. The first agada that most children learn in their lifetimes. The first two lines of the story that the Gemara is about to tell. It says on the one hand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made Shnei HaMa'oros HaGadolim, two large Ma'oros. Uksiv HaSamar HaGadol VeSamar HaKatan. And on the other hand, it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a sun and a moon, a big one and a small one. Amra Yareach Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so the moon said in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shlom, is it possible that there are going to be two kings serving at the same time with the same crown? How could it be that the sun and I are going to coexist? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to the moon, you go and you minimize yourself. You're right, there has to be one boss. There's got to be one king, so the sun is going to be the king. You go and minimize yourself. So that's normally where in kindergarten where it stops, right? But the Gemara goes on. Amr lefanav, Ribono Shalom, holva amarti lefanecha davar agun, I'm imitas atzmi. So the moon says, well, that's not fair. I told you good advice. You obviously agreed. You thought I was correct. So because I gave you good advice, I should be the one to suffer. I had a very good cheshbon. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, I'll make it up for you. I'll make it up to you. The sun is only going to be out during the day. The moon sometimes is out at night and sometimes also out during the day. So you get a little bit extra. You get extra time. So that's how I'm going to make it up to you. So the moon said, well, that's fool's gold. I mean, that doesn't help. I don't do anything during the day. In the day, I'm out there, but the sun is providing all the light. A candle in broad daylight doesn't do anything. I'm like a little candle in broad daylight. It doesn't help anything. That concept of Shraga B'tiyah Ramayahani, we use in Halacha in a couple of occasions. The Gemara Maseches Pesachim uses that expression when it discusses how we're supposed to use a candle for B'dikas Chametz and Dafka to do B'dikas Chametz at night, because you're going to use a candle for B'dikas Chametz and do B'dikas Chametz during the daytime. So Shraga B'tiyah Ramayahani, what does it help to use a candle for B'dikas Chametz if you were doing it during the daytime, right? It would only help at night. The Tur in Hilchos Chanukah in Simtaf Reish Ayin Beis writes that if a person didn't light Ner Chanukah at night, then he shouldn't write. There's no sense in lighting during the day. Shraga B'tiyah Ramayahani. What does it help? You're going to light a candle during the day. So that's a concept we have all over Shas. But anyway, so he says, what's it going to help me? You're not really appeasing me. So Amalas HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to the moon, Zil Limnu Bach Yisrael Yamim B'shanim. Okay, how about this? The Jewish people are going to count their calendar based on you, based on a lunar calendar. So that should make you feel pretty good. Yeah, well, the sun gets that too, because the calendar has to take into account the solar year also, so that the seasons don't get messed up. So he says, okay, I'll give you a third possible appeasement. Zilikru tzadike b'shemayich. The tzadikim are going to be called by your name. Since you're referred to now as the Ma'ar HaKatan, so tzadikim are going to be called by your name. Yaakov HaKatan, Shmuel HaKatan, David HaKatan. We have throughout Tanakh, these great tzadikim are referred to as HaKatan. So that should be a good appeasement. Now, what he's trying to tell him is, why are all these people called HaKatan? It's a symbol of humility, that they all are willing to humble themselves, and that's the greatest shevach. The fact that they're able to... Who is our greatest leader in history? It was Moshe Rabbeinu. What was his greatest characteristic? Anav Mikal Adam. You have that dafka through the anivus, that's where the godless is recognized. So you think humbling yourself is going... Kodesh Baruch Hu is trying to send a message. You think humbling yourself is minimizing yourself. Humbling yourself is making yourself even greater. He's trying to get him to appreciate that. But a person has to come to that appreciation on their own. When that's being told, that you have to humble yourself and that will make you great, well then it doesn't really make you great. You have to actually really humble yourself. You can't be told to humble yourself. So you saw that it wasn't making the moon very happy to be told that. So Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, have you kapara lai shemayati yasherev? So Kodesh Baruch Hu says, oi, what did I do? I did an avera, I guess. I guess I need a kapara that I made the moon smaller. Why is it by the karbonos that we bring for every yantiv it never says LaHashem, but by the seer for Rosh Chodesh says that it's seer LaHashem? So Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, seer zeh yeh kapara l'shemayati yasherech. This seer should be a kapara that I made the moon smaller. It's unclear exactly what that means, that it's a kapara, that Kodesh Baruch Hu needs a kapara. He didn't have Vero. How can you even say such a thing? So Tosus in Masech Shavuos Daf Tes explains in the name of the Aruch that the seer is a kapara for Klal Yisrael. The fact that Kodesh Baruch Hu chose to give Klal Yisrael their kapara on Rosh Chodesh, that's the appeasement to the moon. It's not that Kodesh Baruch Hu is saying, you know, I did something wrong and I need a kapara for what I did to the moon. You can't say such a thing, that Kodesh Baruch Hu needs a kapara for what he did to the moon. Now the idea of Ma'or HaKatan, there's a famous vart from Rav Salvechik that the idea of Ma'ara Katan is based on Gemara Mbamitsiya Dafi Bez and Bez. When the Gemara says that sometimes Katan doesn't mean Katan Mamish, it means, and Gadol doesn't mean Gadol Mamish. Has Samech al Shulchan Aviv Nikra Katan, She'eno Samech al Shulchan Aviv Nikra Gadol. He who relies on somebody else is by definition called a Katan, and he who is independent is called a Gadol. That's what the Gemara Mbamitsiya says in Dafi Bez. So Rav Salvechik pointed out that's what it means, Mara Gadol, Mara Katan. The sun has its own light. It produces independently, it produces its own light. So it's the Ma'ara Gadol. The moon's light only comes from the sun. It only gets nourished from the sun. So that's why it's the Ma'ara Katan, because it's Somech al Shulchan Aviv. So Salvation explained, that's why by a Bris Mila, what do we say? Zeh Katan Gadol Yeh. This Katan should one day be a Gadol. What we're saying is you're looking at this helpless little child, can't do anything for itself. It needs to be cared for constantly and fed and changed and everything. Needs constant care and attention, and the hope is, and the prayer is, that Gadol Yiyah, that the Katan will develop into an independent person, someone who could care for himself and care for other people also, be the caregiver, not just the person who receives the care. Anyway, so that's the idea of the Katan and the Gadol, with the sun and the moon. Okay, Rabbi Asi asked a different stira. It says that the earth brought out plant life, and that's Bethlas B'Shabbatah. That was on the third day of creation. And it says the plant life was about to emerge, and had not yet emerged, B'Mali Shabbatah. And that was on the sixth day of creation, on Erev Shabbos. So isn't that a stira? So Melamed Sheyatzu D'Sham Va'amdu Al Pesach Karka Ad Shabbat Adam Rishon Ubike Shaleim Rachamim V'Yordu G'Sham V'Tzamchu. So this teaches us that the Deshaim were like at the doorstep of about to push through the ground, and they stayed there until Adam Rishon was created, so he could daven, and then the plant life came out. That all plant life and all nourishment, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu set the tone very early, was not going to come on its own. It was dafka going to come al yedei tefillah. We dafka need to daven in order to receive bracha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lam d'shaKadosh Baruch Hu mesavu l'tefillas shel tzadikim. This shows us HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mesavu for the tefillas of tzadikim, and it's not that he doesn't want to give the bracha, he's ready to give the bracha. The plant life was right there, it was waiting to come out. All we need to do is add that final ingredient of tefillah, and that will cause the plant life to emerge. Rav Nachman Bar Papa havile hahi ginasa. Rav Nachman Bar Papa had a garden. Shadi be bizrani v'lo tzamach, and he planted planted seeds and they didn't grow. Boy Rachme also mitra b'tzamach. So he davened and rain came and it came out. Amar Hainu Ravasi says, it's exactly like Ravasi said, that's the way it's supposed to work, that you daven for it and then it's going to come out. It's exactly the way Ravasi said it's supposed to happen. Amar Rav Chanan bar Rava, Hashasua, the Shasua, which is one of the creatures mentioned in the Torah, Birya b'fnei atzmihi, is its own creation. It's different. It's a different min. Sheyesh lo shnei gabin v'shnei shadra'os. It happens to have two backs and two spinal columns. V'chimosh Rabbeinu kanigi haya, obalistri haya. Wait a second. Was Moshe Rabbeinu a kanigi, which Rashi says kanigi means tzad chayos, a hunter, or a balistri, an archer, someone who would shoot arrows, that he was familiar with all these different types of animals, that he knew what he knew of this strange kind of animal that had two backs, and that he was able to write about it in the Torah? So mikan shuv alom ein Torah min hashemayim. That's the response to anyone who says that ein Torah min hashemayim. How would Moshe Rabbeinu know about this strange creature if not for HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling him about it? Frank tells us, I'll tell you how he would know about it. In Nidas, it says that the Shesua comes from a Behema Tahura, comes from a kosher animal. It's born of a kosher animal. And no one argues on that. And if that's the case, it could be that Moshe Rabbeinu happened to have the kosher animal from which the Shesua emerged. So he saw one. It doesn't mean he knew every creature. He knew the Shesua because it came from a kosher animal that he was familiar with. So he says, no, maybe the Shesua ain't about Elimi Behema Shena Matsuya Beinenu. No, but even if it does come from a known animal, from a different kind of animal, maybe it comes from an animal that's also very unusual and we don't have. The Yad HaMelech says, wait a second, I'll tell you how Moshe Rabbeinu knew about it. Noach knew about every kind of animal because Noach had to bring on the Teva, Mikala Behema HaTorah Tikach Lach. He had to bring all the Behemos HaTorahs. So Noach already was familiar with the Simani Tum and Tara, and he was familiar with every single animal. So maybe that's how Moshe Rabbeinu knew about it. So with the Arma Amari Chazal, that in Sechus Vach and Daf Kufta Zayin, that Noach didn't really know about all the animals, that they sort of just walked on their own. Me'elehen, they came to the Teva. They just came on their own accord. And the Teva only accepted those that were kosher, and not, you know, the seven from those that were kosher, not from those that were not kosher. Okay, Amalei Rav Chisda Rav Tachlifa Barvina Zil Kasuv Kanigi Ubalistri Be'agadate Chuparsha. He says, when you write over this Agadata, use those words of Kanigi Ubalistri and explain what they mean. Similar comment, Chamesha Sarne Plishtim, there were the five Sarne Plishtim that were still left in Eretz Yisrael at Yoshua's death. Ha'azasi Va'ashdodi Ha'ashkaloni Ha'gasi Va'akroni Va'avim. Those were the five groups of Plishtim still left. So problem is, if you count them, those are six. So Amar Chamisha V'chashiv Shisa. The puzzle doesn't make any sense. It tells us that there were five, and there are really six. Amar Yonasan Arvanki Shalen Chamisha. Only five of them were actually Chashiv that deserve to be mentioned as officers. Amli Rav Chisda Rav Tachlifa Baravino Kasa Arvanki Ba'agad Techu Parsha. So you have that similar concept where he says, write down that word of Arvanki and explain what it means when you say over the Sagadata. Upliga the Rav, and this happens to be against Rav. Dam Rav. Avim miteman ba'u. Avim were not really from the Plishtim. That's why they're the sixth one. They're the sixth wheel that doesn't get counted because they really came from Teman originally. Tanya namihachi. Avim miteman ba'u. V'lama nikra shman avim. Why do they have such a name of avim? She'ifsu es mekaman, because they messed up their location. They went from Teman and they moved in to Eretz Canaan. Dovracher avim she'ivu le'alochus harbe, that they desired many different gods, and that's perhaps what sent them to Eretz Canaan in the first place, is that they wanted to try out all these different avodah zarahs. Dovracher avim she'kol haro'eh osam ochso avis, that anyone who saw them had this disease called avis, which was a certain type of trembling. Amr of Yosef, Islu Shitzri Darishine Lekol Chad V'Chad. They each had 16 rows of teeth, these people. Now, obviously, that would be a dentist's dream or nightmare, I guess, depending on how much business he wants. But what does it mean they have 16 rows of teeth? No, it means that they were that they were cannibals, that they ate like chayas, they ate other human beings. That's what it means, the 16 rows of teeth. Now, the next piece of the Gemara is going to discuss psukim that seem completely irrelevant and unnecessary to appear in Tanakh, and why, in fact, they actually do appear in Tanakh. So, Mr. Shem will start with four examples of such psukim tomorrow.